Well, good morning. If you'll grab your bulletins, we'll go through this morning's announcements, and we will go ahead and dismiss. We'll miss you guys, too. We'll dismiss the 3 to 12-year-olds to your classrooms next door. So 3 to 12-year-olds, you guys are dismissed. Married couples, don't forget about your meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock for dinner and fellowship, and the lesson to follow immediately after that around 6 o'clock. I know on the WhatsApp group there's been some posting about who's bringing what. And if you have any last-minute questions, you can see Leda or Johnny immediately after the service today. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is prayer night here in the church, so don't forget about that. Specifically praying for America during that time. So Monday night at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Don't forget about that. The Foundations teaching is continuing Tuesday mornings at 9:30 a.m. So keep on keeping on. This Wednesday at 7 o'clock is our midweek service, continuing our study on the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. So hopefully you're part of that. Put that on your calendars. Don't forget about that. And then Friday morning prayer at 6 a.m. is still going on. So hopefully you have that on your calendar. Set your alarm a little earlier to come and pray. Start your Friday morning with some prayer here in the sanctuary. And that's at 6 a.m. Friday morning. And then this Saturday is the yard sale fundraiser for the dance team and for the ladies ministry. So if you have not brought in stuff, if you have items you'd like to donate towards that, this week is the week to do it. Don't forget to do so. And you can always put the stuff in the... What? They need your stuff. They need your stuff. So they need donations. So you can bring it anytime this week. So if you need... If you need assistance, let Mary Lou know, let Pastor Asia know, and we'll get that coordinated. If you need something picked up, those ladies are strong. <They'll>,
On the WhatsApp, on the men's group, I put on there, and I don't know, I'm going to make sure everybody, if the men don't look at the WhatsApp, or whatever, if you're not on it, I just want to make sure you hear it. April 14th is still a little bit away, but we're planning on going to Top Golf in Fort Myers. If you're interested in going, please let me know. If you want to play, okay, so you can go and not play. You can go and just eat, fellowship. Those people I don't need to make reservations for, but the ones that do actually want to play in Top Golf, I don't know if you've been there. It's not just for golfers. It's for non-golfers, too. If you think you can hit the ball, you can score points, and you got a chance in doing all right. So if you want to go and you want to play, please let me know. I had said last Saturday that we – or I said it on WhatsApp that we wanted to know by Friday. That was 2 days ago. But I know there's a couple of people that play golf. I don't know if y'all wanted to go. So I give you till today. Let me know after service or post it on WhatsApp or shoot me a text or something and just say, hey, we want to go. We want to play so that I can reserve consecutive lanes next to each other so we can all play and have a good time together. If we wait and do it too late, we'll be split up over the whole place, and then, you know, then we won't get the full benefit of the fellowship.
And that is all the announcements. Oh, just kidding.
No, my husband and I have been gone because of vacation or work or stuff like that in the last couple Sundays, and a couple people have asked us about the married couples group, so I just wanted to give another little explanation about what we do. It's young to seasoned, not old. Anybody who is a married couple, we invite you to come. We meet, we're going to start again the holidays kind of, we put a squash on it just for a little bit, but every month we get together and we fellowship around food, of course, because it's great. And then we dig deep into, right now we're doing a book, Love, Joy, and Peace, and it's the marriage. And there's chapters, and we go and we talk about, you know, the things. And I love it because people that have been married a long time, I love to glean off of them, and they have insights. And then I also love to see the newlyweds and the 1 or 2 years, you know, and their passion and excitement and stuff like that. So it really does just bring us all together, and we teach each other and have a good time. So we do have a WhatsApp group, and I also have a Facebook group for married couples. And so if you do want to join any one of those things, just come see us after service.
All right, that is all the announcements for this morning. We want to welcome any first-time visitors. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning. We welcome you. Hopefully, we put a little welcome packet in your hand. In that packet is a little card that you can fill out, and you place that card in the offering plate up front or the box in the back. Don't worry, you're not signing up for a mailing list or anything like that, but it is an opportunity for us to get to know you. There's a place for you to put a prayer request in there, and whether or not you fill that part out, you will be prayed for. And so I hope you take encouragement in that. But in there, it talks about giving and how we believe that giving is part of worship, and that we don't set aside a particular time to pass a plate or to collect an offering, but you can do so throughout the service as you feel led by the Lord. And again, you can do that by placing it in the plate up front, or the box by the back doors there, or online using the tithe.ly app, and you can search for Life Ministries of LaBelle. But we are going to bless it at this time. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for the time of worship, Father. I thank you for the ministry you've done in this place this morning, God, how you've met our needs, Lord, and you're meeting our needs even in advance, even when we don't know it and we don't maybe even recognize it, Lord. I thank you for that. Lord, I pray a blessing on each one here. And God, I pray that you bless those that are with us online. Father, we thank you for the giving heart of this body. Lord, we thank you for these tithes and offerings that have been given. Father, we pray that you multiply them and that you give the board of directors wisdom on how to allocate these finances. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name, amen.
Today is children's time, I guess, because the Lord was also dealing with me. You know, Yesenia talked about being a child, and Asia shared that. And what the Lord dropped on me, I'm going to just drop on you, because I know it was for me mainly, but I am not jealous or stingy or selfish, so I want to share my encouragement with you. You all remember the story, if you were once a child, and I'm sure you were, about the competition, the race between the hare and the turtle. And, you know, we have all heard what happened. The turtle didn't have a chance before that hare, rabbit, or whatever you want to call it. And yet, with all the speed and agility and strength that the hare had over the turtle, that hare got distracted. And he got comfortable. He settled the fact, I don't have any hurry. I don't have any concern, I'm going to win anyway because I'm so much faster. And got distracted, and the end of the story is the turtle won the race. And so what the Lord was dropping up on me, on my heart, was the fact that I can get so involved with so many different things, thinking that they are so important to accomplish. You know, I've been working on restoring one of our bathrooms that had a leak, and and trying to finish it, and, you know, being detailed about this and that and the other, and keeping up with this and building other things, and try to accomplish so much. And the Lord's saying, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. You know, you will have to redo your bathrooms ever so often. You will have to rebuild and repair. And, you know, we get so caught up on so many other things that we forget the real race that we're supposed to be in. And we spend our energy, our talents, and abilities on things that are not going to last and are not that meaningful anyway in the scope of eternity. And so, just wanted to pass that on. You know, think on the eternal things. And then consider what you're doing, and getting so engrossed in, think that if I don't do this, and if I don't accomplish this, then I haven't done anything. Really? You know, at the end, will it matter? You know, those are the kind of things that you need to ask. But that's not the subject for today. Today, we have Erica is going to share with us some of her experience while she was in IHOP. And we're going to hear her testimony. So, Erica, would you come?
Thank you, Pastor George and Pastor Asia and church family. You know, you always, I'm more of a preparer. Like Pastor George, I like my notes, because if I don't have my notes in front of me, I'll go all over the place. It'll be like we're sitting at Dunkin' Donuts, and the next thing you know, it's been an hour, and it's like, did you get to where you were going? Anyways, and so, yes, my name is Erica Conley, and I recently came back from a mission internship in Kansas City, Missouri, and I am excited, church, to share a brief report on that experience. But first, I just really want to say thank you so much and give glory to the Lord. When God called me to this, it was kind of like a short thing. July, I was praying about, God, what do you want me to do next? And he puts this on my heart, and this internship is supposed to start in September. And it's quite expensive, not the actual education part, but the actually living out there, because it was a 3-month internship. And then just all the expenses, because I'm not working during that time. And so, as you can imagine, price tag a little high up there. And I just want to say, for a lot of people who normally do something like that, they take a couple months, maybe even 6 months to a year. The Lord gave me everything I needed and then some within 3 weeks. And that was not just here, but also from people outside that are friends of mine. But I mainly want to just say thank you guys to you, because where we sow financially and in anything we sow, whether it's teaching or it's giving something or whatever that is, the Bible is clear that we reap what we sow. So it comes back. And if you're sowing into good seed, you're sowing into the thing that the Lord puts on your heart, it will come back. And I know that's not the reason why we give, but isn't it wonderful to see what the Lord does when he multiplies the little that he says, oh yeah, I want you to support that mission. I want you to support that ministry. I want you to sow into that. And then months later, you're like, oh wow, you know, you're seeing all this multiply. So I just want to say thank you so much, because we don't do missions. We don't do outreach. Like, we just got done doing the Swamp Cabbage Festival, and Shatara and Vinny gave a little thing on that the last couple weeks. And, you know, we don't do all that. It takes money to do those kinds of things. So any kind of ministry. So just thank you so much for doing that. So first, I want to talk about a little bit about, before I tell you where I went, what I did, what it was. I felt like the Lord wanted me to share that I've been praying for a long time that the Lord would never let me get comfortable. Now, advice, be careful if you pray that. Because you think, oh, Lord, I am so into you. Yes, Jesus, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Never let me get comfortable. Oh, he will not let you. get comfortable. Just when you think you've settled in and you're all right, all of a sudden the Lord's like, okay, let's move you. And you're like, ah! So just be careful if you pray that. And this whole time that I was away, it was very uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable when the Lord said, oh yeah, I want you to go. But oh yeah, you only got like 5 weeks to get out there. And then see him bring the financial breakthrough. And, you know, and then the whole time being in an environment where it's very different, it didn't make sense to leave for 3 months. I still have a thriving business, but I had basically given up my business. I was going to be away from my church family, be away from my own family, going somewhere where I don't know anybody. And I'm like, okay, Lord, but I know that you've called me. And then there is this uncomfortable. So I feel like that someone needed to hear that if the Lord has called you to do something uncomfortable, growth is not comfortable. And if you are comfortable and kind of feel like you're in a rut, I would start asking the Lord to change that, because you don't grow in comfort. You grow through trial, you grow through testing, you grow in your training. And so if you're not growing or you're not feeling the difficulty, I would look into that. And just know that whatever the Lord calls you to step into, there will be difficulty. And it will feel like you don't have all what you need sometimes, or like it's a struggle, or like, God, I know you've called me to this, but I don't have all of this. And the Lord's like, I got you. Because it's not so much about all what you have to offer, but what I want to do inside of you and help you grow to get to that place. John C. Maxwell, he was a pastor for a long time, also in charge of a big leadership company for many, many years. One of my favorite quotes from him is, you have to grow up to go up. So you want to go deeper in the things of the Lord. You want to live a life fully surrendered. You want to look different and get uncomfortable. You're going to have to grow. And it's painful sometimes. It's really painful. And God will use circumstances, very hard circumstances, and even the stuff inside of us. Like, I just love this theme with the whole child thing. God will use the things inside of us that are actually holding us back. He'll bring those to the light so we can let them go. And we can pursue and be fully focused on the things that he has for us, because they're so much better. It's so much better. We just get so comfortable, and we live in a comfort culture here in America. And I believe that we're living in an hour where we can no longer be okay with just being comfortable. And Paul says it best, and I'll start with this and then we'll get moving here. It's not as long as you think it is. So one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is from Philippians 3. Paul's talking, starting in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He's worth it. God has me. God's gotten a hold of me so much. This is what Paul is saying. God has changed my life from upside down. I can't imagine doing anything else but pursuing him, but pursuing what he wants me to do in this life. And then he goes on to say in verse 13 and 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That means catch, get, grab hold of. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If you're looking back, you're walking blind this way. You can't see. And you're hanging on to what's behind you. You can't possibly grab hold of what's in front. And he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So key words there, reaching forward, pressing toward the goal for the prize, and the upward call, moving forward, going up. And the only way you can do that is if your eyes are on Jesus and you have settled the fact that you will bank your life on him. no matter what happens, no matter what hard things come about, no matter what difficulty you're facing, you have decided to follow Jesus. It's one of my favorite hymns. It's an oldie but a goodie, and I love it. You know, the world behind me, the cross before me. Cross meaning the suffering that comes, because I believe in America that there's been a big lie out there. Get saved and all your troubles will go away. All of a sudden you're a Christian. You've said yes to Jesus. Now your life is going to be amazing. And the truth is that, yes, there are promises. God has wonderful things for us. But if you don't pay attention to the disciples and how they were all martyred, essentially, and given their lives for the Lord, and they lived very difficult lives, you're kind of living in a fantasy if you don't think that your life won't be difficult at some point or another. And it's not a punishment. It's just, it's life. We're living in a fallen world, and the Lord is going to use it to grow you and bring you closer to Him. I just love that song, I Just Love You. And the song before that, Lord, pull me a little closer. I just want to know your heart. How can you follow someone if you don't know their heart? Follow meaning I fully trust wherever they say go, I'm going to follow. In the military, you know, we have different levels, and whoever's at the bottom responds to this person, and this person responds to this person, and then on and on and on, but it's all coming from the top, and you have to trust whoever is above you. And so it's like, and God calls us, that He tells us in the Word that we are soldiers, that we're supposed to train like soldiers. Paul talks about that. And so I just wanted to open up with that before I go into this. So I know that was, didn't mean to preach a sermon, Pastor George, but it was there. So anyways, okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about where I went, what that place is, because not everybody knows what IHOP, everybody thinks International House of Pancakes, and I'm like, close, but not right. So, no, I didn't go to the pancake place, so I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm just going to say some of the things that I was doing. This is not a full account, and then I will go into some key takeaways that I believe were not just strategic in the Lord getting me there and my heart, but also just to share with you as a church and let that sit with you. Okay? So we ready? Here we go. All right, so I'm going to read more from this so we can stay. I left LaBelle this past September 1st and was gone for just a little over 3 months. I partnered with International House of Prayer, known as IHOP KC, for a ministry internship. IHOP offers 5 different internships, but the one called me to participate in was the intro track, and it is exactly what it sounds like, an introduction. It was an introduction to everything IHOP, where individuals set apart a consecrated time designed to pursue Jesus through worship, prayer, intercession, and an overall training of vocational ministry. IHOP is a 24/7 prayer and worship ministry that was founded with a vision and call to have continual night and day worship and prayer. They've been doing this for over 20 years in what is called the Global Prayer Room. This is open to the public and is made up of several intercessory missionaries that pray and worship Jesus for up to and over 40 hours a week. They intercede for the nations, our country, their state, city, community, the church, missionaries, Israel, revival, and they long for the return of our Savior Jesus. In addition to the Global Prayer Room, IHOP has a university known as IHOP U, a church called Forerunner Church. Specifically, they took forerunner because we know in the Bible that John was a forerunner. What does a forerunner mean? It means that they are running ahead. And John was paving the way, making the way for Jesus. And now we are modern day forerunners, preparing the way for Jesus to return. So very, very appropriate name there. And a homeless ministry they have that's based in the inner city. Although I had opportunities to work at each of these locations, I was primarily assigned to serve at Forerunner Church and in the Global Prayer Room. So what did my training look like? What did it consist of? How would I describe it? To answer the last question first, now that I've completed the internship, I would describe it as a special forces boot camp for seminary training. I know that was a lot of words, so I'll repeat that. Special forces boot camp for seminary training. My schedule changed slightly from week to week, but overall it consisted of 16 to 25 hours in the global prayer room, 4 classes a week, and practical ministry service. Hours in prayer consisted of meditating and prayer reading the word, worshiping in songs corporately, being still and listening, recording conversations between me and the Father, memorizing passages of the Bible, and interceding for specific needs and seasons in the lives of those who sponsored me, our Life Ministries Church, and for those I knew who were lost. God also would give me specific countries, missionaries, and nations to lift up while there. Now you're probably wondering, that's a lot of time to pray. Yes, it is. Especially for someone who is very busy a lot. Between running a business and taking care of the family and hanging out with church family and being involved with boxing and Krav Maga self-defense classes and like, you name it, I'm probably in it. And very, very busy. And then God says, now come away with me for 3 months and get some more training and sit down. Yes, sometimes the places that we feel like we don't really need God's help, we don't really need growth in, are the very places that we need to sit down. And that's part of the growing up, right? Because that picture of not wanting, or maybe it was Jacinia who said this, that not wanting, like I think in my mind as a child, this is great, but God's like, look, I got something so much better for you if you will just give that to me. And what a discipline that is, because see, that requires an act of trust to say, your way is better, God. What you want me to do is better. And what I'm holding on to, it was good for a season, but it no longer serves me in the new season. Talk a little bit about, I told you I attended 4 classes each week. They were focused on key biblical foundations and ministry training. Among the topics covered were prayer, intercession, worship, eschatology, which is the study of the return of Christ, practical discipleship, study and meditation of the word, an intro to the Song of Solomon, the prophetic, spiritual gifts, history of prayer, revival and mission movements, the importance of Israel. Now, I know it sounds like a lot, but I'm telling you this not to highlight, oh, look what I did. No, my heart is to say that I was busy. I'm like, one head pound to the next. Anyways, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just sitting here. Wham, wham, wham. Anyways, help me, God. Anyways, also got to hear the latest news from missionaries serving on the front lines, practicums in cutting-edge children and teens programs, as well as a healing and deliverance intensive. The classes were very instrumental in affirming my calling, spiritual gifts, skill set, and past training experiences. However, at 35, and like I've already alluded to, I've come to value the fact that even if we know ourselves well and have had years of experience ministry-wise, there is still room for growth and for us to come up higher. God gave me the opportunity to do just that by observing and co-teaching in the children's ministry at Forerunner Church, assisting prayer and ministry teams at their Friday night services, serving the homeless community, getting to lead and minister to my group of interns ages 22 to 70 through the prophetic and in prayer, and participating in corporate fasting and prayer initiatives specifically for the salvation of Jews, Muslims, and Hindus across the world. So here are my key takeaways. I've got 10 of them, but they're short, okay? After serving for that amount of time very intensely for 3 months, where my schedule was dictated to me of how much time I would spend in the Word, how much time I would spend in worship and in prayer and in serving, and that was my whole life for 3 months. And that was also very, I will just say this, like the warfare. So I'd also want to say this, going back to those of you who feel like you're uncomfortable. You may also be uncomfortable because if you've stepped out to do what God's called you to do, there is warfare involved. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but the principalities of darkness. The enemy does not like it when we choose Jesus and his agenda over ours. And so he will do all he can do to throw out the stops. And yes, there's living in a fallen world, so some things just happen. Sometimes it's not the enemy. But then when you start to see a pattern of, now I have been sick with weird stuff for 6 to 7 weeks, almost half my internship, your car breaks down twice, and it has to be in the shop, and so you're walking, and that's fine, because the Lord is good, He provided, right? But your car breaks down, and then you've got allergies, and then all of a sudden your phone's not working, like you name it, one thing after another. And when I got there, the initial housing that I had fell through. But don't feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for me, because this is a part of the testing, right? And to see how God's like, you're like, okay, I've showed up. And the enemy's like, oh, go away. And you're like, oh my God, maybe I made a bad decision. Maybe I need to turn around and go back. And the Lord's like, now hold on a second. Hold on a second. Let's flip the switch here and let's grow you in how you respond to pressure. When things start getting taken away from you, or you're made to be uncomfortable, how do you respond? And we're never going to respond totally perfectly, but I would hope that as we grow, our response does become, and Paul is a big, big one for me, to where he names all the things he goes through and has been through, and he's like, and yet I still choose Jesus. And your response goes from, oh no, we need to panic, I should start questioning God's voice, to I'm growing in the, no, I heard God's voice, I know I'm supposed to be here, I know I have an enemy, and this is how I'm going to fight. And it's time for the church to start doing more of that. And I say that to preface it with these key takeaways. So number one, we are living in the days of Noah. If you're not quite sure what that means, I would encourage you to read Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible. And it was very evil. Very, very evil. All kinds of evil happening. And Jesus even says, as in the days of Noah, will be his return. And so I say that not to bring fear, but to bring a sense of urgency. Do you see the signs of the times? A friend shared with me recently that they had a guest speaker at their church, and that minister said, I'm no longer looking for the signs. I'm listening for the trumpet. Because we don't know the day or the hour, but we are in that day. We are in that season. And so if you know that, then that should change, that should dictate, that should influence how we live in our pursuit of Jesus. We need to pay attention, wake up to the signs. Therefore, it is of utmost importance to get ready and prepared for what is coming before his return. Number two, how we prepare will be reflected in how we train, how we do ministry, how we're teaching. The idea of Jesus is coming. What do we need to know? How do we need to get prepared? How do we need to get anchored? And I do believe that we're in a house that does that, because we have pastors and we have leaders that have a heart to make sure that we're equipped and we have those things that are necessary. Number three, I believe we have entered into a season of acceleration. This means that what used to take years and financial means to attend and like graduate from a seminary will now only take months and will come from the leaders and teachers in our churches that have been anchored in the things of the Lord and have been entrusted to disciple others. Number four, discipleship. Discipleship begins with beholding. What you see, you are beholding, and what you behold, because you continue to look, you will become. And I want to mention here before I say the examples in the Bible that we have of this is like, you know, if our time, and it's nothing against Facebook, nothing against media, it's wonderful, it's a great tool, but if our eyes are continually focused on that and not on this, and actually taking the time to do a timeout, and believe me, the enemy will oppose you at every direction. When you're like, okay, I'm going to take my hour with the Lord, all of a sudden, you wake up late. You can't find your Bible. Your kid is sick. you need this or you need that, or all of a sudden, or then you finally, you don't have any of those problems and you sit down and everything's quiet, everything's good. You're like, okay, Lord, I'm ready to hear from you. I'm ready just to soak in your presence. I got my worship music on, everything's good. And then all of a sudden your mind, the battle is in our mind, right? The mind's like, oh yeah, I got to turn off the stove. Oh yeah, I need to pick up so-and-so. Oh yeah, I need to do this. And oh yeah, that report at work. And oh, I need to do that. And oh Lord, and all the while, Jesus, so patient with us, because he sits right there, and the God who sent his son to die on a cross and raised from the dead to show his power and his love is the God that sits and waits to be wanted. He doesn't need you to want him. He doesn't need you to worship him. He doesn't need you to do any of that, but he wants it for relationship. And we can't give 1 hour of our day. That would be 7 hours a week. And I'm going to tell you, it was very difficult for me while I was at IHOP to do 16 to 25 in the presence. Even though I had no, I didn't have a business to run. I didn't have family right there to take care of. I didn't have all what I normally have. And yet it was still difficult. But it's worth fighting for, I want to tell you. Because those times that you spend with the Lord, there's an author and a man named Bob Sorge. He wrote a book called The Secret Place. And so those times with the Lord, he describes as your secret place, that time with the Lord in secret, in stillness, in no noise, and taking every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Saying, I choose to focus my mind on the things of the Lord. Right now, that investment, I'll go back to when I was talking about sowing and reaping. You sow in the secret place. You will reap in every arena of your life. Because if God is first place, you will reap in every arena of your life. Your relationships will change. How you teach will change. How you give will change. How you see trials and testing changes because you are so anchored, because you have sowed in the secret place. It grows you and it draws you closer to him. And it gives you that perspective. It changes you. Okay, Jesus, you really matter. And what you want really matters to me. And you're beholding him. You're looking at him like Moses when he came off of Mount Sinai. And David when he was in the temple and dancing before the Lord. And John the Baptist looking for Jesus' coming. And Jesus' relationship with the Father. He said, I do nothing apart from my Father. My eyes are constantly on him. So what you see me do is him. And when you take that on for yourself, again, get ready. It's going to change everything. It's going to be very opposed, but it's opposed because of the power that the enemy knows how that's going to shift and change things around you because you are different. So number five, a life of prayer and growing in the discipline of it is no longer optional for the believer. You probably heard of him, Corey Russell emphasizes this a lot. Of all the things the disciples asked Jesus, it was never about how to do miracles. They asked, teach us to pray. The disciples understood something that we don't always fully embrace, and that's the truth of that prayer is more than just asking God for things like a genie. Prayer is conversational intimacy with the Father, and intercession is partnership with the Father to see his kingdom come to the earth as it is in heaven. When you pray, you go to war because our weapons are not against flesh and blood. Healing and deliverance equipping. Number six, the world is desperate for hope and healing. We saw this at Swamp Cabbage, like the masses coming and just wanting to, I mean, they thought they were coming for a stick, but then you start to see them change. And even those who were already knew Jesus, like they want to know and they're hearing and they want the prayer and they're looking for Jesus. And people aren't waiting for people with degrees to deliver them. And there's nothing wrong with degrees. I think that degrees are needed for counseling, for all those things. It depends on what sphere of influence God has called you to. But I don't want us to use an excuse of, I don't have a degree or a license to pray for someone and take them to the real counselor, the real healer, the real God who's going to take care of them. We're not living in those days anymore. We're like, oh, the pastor will do that. No, it's on you. If you want to grow with the Lord, he is calling you up higher, which is going to require you to get uncomfortable, which means, oh, I can pray and share the gospel. Because you know what? It's not about us. It's about him coming back. And are we doing what we need to do to prepare the way for him to come back? Number 7, we must define the mission, because a defined, clear mission that flows from the great commission leads to church unity. If we are all pursuing Jesus and we are all sharing the gospel, there is power in that unity. Stop fighting about the stuff that's not that important. Okay, so, yes, Jesus. Anyways, I was that. Anyways, 8, we must have a vision to be above reproach, to be on the cutting edge for training and teaching. Let us be the best, not out of pride, but out of a desire for excellence, doing and giving all unto the Lord. We cannot wait to prepare when something goes wrong. Wisdom says to prepare and have a plan to prevent. As the church, we are responsible for setting the example. 9, we're almost done. We must evaluate and level up and or improve our stewardship, if necessary, of the people and resources God entrusts us with. Because I want to give you a big secret, which really isn't a secret. The mission field, it's the people God puts around you and the ones he sends you to. And if there are people around you that are listening to you, or even just your immediate family who you're called to shield, protect, and teach and take care of, you have a mission right there. That is your mission. And are you a good steward of that? Or are we withholding and saying, I'm not going to grow because it's too hard? And God's like, no, I called you to that. I called you to that family. I called you to that job. I called you to that mission trip. I called you to that church. I called you to teach there. I called you to do this. So why are you holding back because you're uncomfortable? Or you want what you want more than what God wants, and yet you've already surrendered your life. Something's not quite right there. Anyway, and 10, I believe this is important because This actually loops back to, well, actually, let me just preface this with this. It's my last point. For the past 10 years, we've been living in a time that is now being referred to as a mass exodus. College-age adults are leaving the church to pursue deconstruction of their faith. And that Generation Z, the oldest one is now 27, and Generation Alpha, the oldest one is now 11. And they're the ones coming behind us. And the reason why I want to draw attention to that is because I don't know that we always do the best job that we can, but you are needed in this hour. I do not care what age you are. If you are retired and you're in that seasoned generation, or you are in your early 20s, you have influence if you have people around you. And so it's on us. And I got this from my time at IHOP. Not that I didn't really know before, but like God was just really hammering this to me. He's like, if you really believe that I'm coming soon, and you really believe that it's part of getting ready is preparing the generation behind you to not just love me and come to know me, because anybody can do that. Oh yeah, sure. I want to spend eternity with Jesus. I don't want to go the other way. That's really easy to present that, but to actually live a lifestyle where you provoke people to want more than just to know where their eternal destination is, that requires sacrifice, and it will cost you everything. Your walk with the Lord and how that influences people, if you're truly surrendered, will cost you everything. But I want to tell you today, even though I am young and only in my 30s, you will have no regrets, and you will like who you see, and you will fall more in love with the Lord. And when you look at how much it costs, you're like, your question no longer is, God, how much does it cost me? But Lord, how much do you want me to pay? Because you gave it all. So if part of my life and my purpose here is to reflect and provoke those to want more of you, whatever that costs me, I'm willing to pay that cost. And we're living in that generation. I'll go back to that Noah thing. You know, if we're living in that generation, there should be an urgency in us. There should be a sense of urgency, not fear, not pride, but urgency. And that is the question. You know, are we doing all we can do? And it's always good to evaluate where we are, not so we can go and change everything and look like IHOP or anywhere else that I just came from. That's, God didn't call us to be IHOP. God called us to be Life Ministries. And if God is calling you here or has already called you here, he has a place for you here. And I want you to know that you're needed, that you're wanted, that you have influence, that he has something for you to do here to be a part of this body. And it's not perfect. And yes, we get offended and we make mistakes and stuff like that. But the big picture is Jesus coming back. And they'll know we're Christians by how we love. We know that God is in us because of our love. That's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I know that God is in me because of my ability to love, not because of what I have, but because of what God has done inside of me and transformed me through his word and brought that conviction. And I recognize that I am unworthy of that love. And yet God said, I love you. God demonstrates his own love in this, that while we were yet still sinners, he died for us. And Paul says, go back to that. I press forward. Before that, he was talking about joining in the sufferings of Jesus. Not just because he wanted to suffer, just because, but because if you're truly following Jesus, again, it will cost you. It will cost you, but it's worth fighting for. It's worth paying the price. And I just want to close with this little sentence here, and then I'm going to get off here, okay? Which I hope I wasn't supposed to preach today, but anyways, I'm thankful that you gave me an opportunity, a season to grow in the spiritual discipline of prayer while being tested in the arenas of leadership and stewardship, because I was able to do all of that while I was away. I know that I have that opportunity here, and I am looking forward to kind of hanging out for a little while before my next venture and just really plugging in, getting to know you better, and helping wherever I can. So, I love you guys. Thank you for listening to me. I know that was a lot of different stuff, but those are the key takeaways. So thank you.
All right, yes, we're going to pray. Every time we step up into a new revelation, what the Lord has put, you know that the enemy is not too happy. Amen? And so we're going to pray for her and bless her. But I want to encourage you, we are having a workshop, a prayer workshop here. It's going to be Saturday. We are shooting, I think, for April 6th. And it will be in the morning. It's a Saturday, like from 10 to 12. Why this is important? Because this whole type of prayer intercession, what's the watchman? What's the gatekeeper? What is declaring? Don't you hear that? I'll declare and decree. What is that, right? We need to know these things according to the word of God, so we'll be soldiers a little bit more equipped to come against the darkness. Amen? And the enemy don't want us to do that. The enemy wants us to stay in neutral. Amen? But the word of God comes and is sharp and it's good, right? To do the warfare, to stand and to do what the Lord has called us to do. So be putting that down. We're going to be announcing it. It's free workshop. We're going to have, she'll be one of our speakers, but we're going to have several and teaching what an intercessor is. What is a prayer? There's more than just our Father who art in heaven. Amen? Which that's very important. It's the foundation. But I think we need to be alert, right? And equipped. So we're going to be offering that not only to the church, but even to the community, because the body of Christ needs to be strengthened with all the might and interceding that his kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? All right.
I just want to point out the fact that you see different qualities with different one of us. You know, you hear my wife all the time. I mean, she's always ready to say something. And she never comes short of word. I mean, you see Erica just willing to go forward and, you know, some of us say, great, you can do that. I'm not cut out to be that, you know. Sometimes I even am tempted to say that. Well, that's my wife, not me, right? And yet we all have a part to play. We are all needed. Every part of the body of Christ needs to be connected so that they can have life. And they all have a function, you know. You hit your nail on your pinky and the whole body feels it. And if that nail gets gone, you know, when most of the time we didn't even pay attention to it, something happens to that nail, the whole body knows about it. That happens with every one of us. Amen. Erica has been in further training than she has ever considered. And God is opening new doors and preparing her to handle those new doors that come up. We all need to be in the same boat in whatever fashion the Lord is working with each one of us, because we are all unique and very different in our function. And yet, you know, we all need to be dedicated. We're going to pray for Erica right now. I want you to join faith with us as we believe for God to now use her as he has prepared her, right? Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Erica. We thank you, Lord, for the roads you have taken her, for the places, not only the roads, but the stop places, Lord, where you have had her to sit and not fully understand what was going on. And yet, Father, here she is. Father, having a bigger picture of who you are and what your call on her is. And Father, we pray now that as her pictures as widen, Father, that she would be able to put the hands to the plow on those things that you've called her to be busy about. And Father, not only be busy about, but having the right perspective to go forward in the fashion that you want her to demonstrate your love, your care, your salvation to those around her. Father, we pray you protect her. You give her, continue to give her wisdom and guidance, Father, as she meets those things that you're calling her into. And Father, we pray that those doors are very apparent to her, that she will not miss it, to where she can walk in fully expecting, Lord, to be you, to be her rear guard, as well as her leader. And Father, that everything that she sees you do, Father, she can mimic and be successful at everything she puts her hands on the plow. Father, protect her, lead her, strengthen her, keep her healthy and prosperous. And Father, continue to give her the wisdom and revelation that she needs to fulfill your call, your plan, your ministry in her life to those around her. Father, we bless her. We thank you, Father, for her in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That was good. All right, I haven't had a chance to talk to you, so I guess that this is an appointment for next Sunday. And so I wish I could see you Monday night here, or Wednesday night here, or Tuesday morning here, or Wednesday night here, or you know. So I hope to see you soon. So we're going to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for putting us up to date as far as what you're doing in Erica and through Erica. And Father, we pray that we would be challenged, Father, to do likewise in the way that you want to do with us, Lord, that we would submit, fully and completely. And Father, you would find in us willing vessels that are willing to submit to the training that you want to give us. Father, I bless your people, and I thank you for everyone that has come this morning. I pray that they are charged and challenged, Father, to pursue you with all of their heart. Father, we bless them. We pray prosperous anointing upon them for this following week. And we pray, Father, that you would be leading and guiding every one of us to accomplish your will for this next week. Father, we thank you, we bless your people, and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, some of us are going to be here to help you with that. God bless.